Coming up on Which Way Is Life, episode number 15, my guest today, Dr. Kathy Jamieson. We're going to teach you how to be happier at work. Also, what to do if you live in fear of being fired. That's not a good place to be. Dr. Jamieson is going to help you with that. And how to handle a horrible boss. Plus, the one thing to make your life better. That's all coming up. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Which Way Is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt. That's Real, Real Salt brand sea salt.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired. Get healthy. Reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
Thrilled to have Dr. Kathy Jamieson on with us today. Dr. Jamieson is a consultant, writer, workshop leader, and international speaker. She has published 6 books and over 1,500 articles in various magazines and newsletters. She has founded and built a multi-million-dollar business on the principles she shares. And in her latest book, Creating a Healthy Work Environment, she encourages others to lead abundant, fulfilling, joyful lives at work and at home. Dr. Jamieson, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. Can you let us in on your personal life? Who are you when you're not saving the world?
Thank you for the invitation to be with you today. I'm thrilled. My husband John and I actually live on a ranch in southern Oklahoma, right on the border between Texas and Oklahoma, and we raised the Great American Quarter Horse, and we've raised 2 terrific children there. And so we have a life that is very much built upon the spirit of the West and the courage of the West. But most of my life I spend with professionals throughout the world, teaching them the principles of management. I have a doctorate in management. And so I teach people how to manage their businesses effectively, not only to be productive and profitable, which of course is essential, but also how to build relationships within the work environment so that people can really thrive, so they can become co-owners, if you will, of the organization and enjoy this part of a life, which is called our work.
So, Dr. Jamieson, I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
I absolutely am ready.
Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
Bill, if I were going to advise people of the one thing that they could do starting today that would make their life better, it would probably be this. Stop this day making the excuse of, I don't have time. It's really one of the ultimate excuses, if you will, because really we all have the same amount of time. If we want to do something, we believe in something, and we're passionate about something, we can arrange our lives, organize our lives, manage the time of our lives, if you will, and make things happen.
So how do we do that? How do we change our mindset on that, I don't have time? How do we change that?
I would say the most important aspect of this whole issue of time management, or again, getting rid of the excuse of I don't have time, is to prioritize. Look at your life, even if it takes a few moments of being in your own quietness, and writing down what's going on in your life and what's happening at work, at home, whatever it may be, and to prioritize those things and to say, okay, if I don't feel like I'm spending enough time here or there, wherever it may be, or I want to engineer or carve out more time to do this, that, or whatever it may be, then to look at what are the priorities. And if something is a priority, but it's not getting my time and attention, then what must I do to alter that? What do I need to eliminate? How do I need to arrange my time to be either more efficient or more effective? And or do I need to access some help? Or last but not least, is there something I could delegate? Is there someone who could do something as well, maybe not exactly the same, but as well as I do? And if so, could I delegate that? Or as we look at what we're doing and we find, oh, something that's really a top priority for me, I'm not getting that done, then as again we're looking at our list of all the things we're involved or engaged in, could we ask ourselves the question, would life be all right if I eliminated that from my life in order to focus on and or prioritize on the things that are most important?
Right. So we're doing things that are unnecessary, and those are unnecessary things are taking a valuable time.
Absolutely.
So prioritize and delegate.
Yeah.
I like that.
Two critical things. People are afraid to delegate because they think, I mean, there's many reasons. But people think, oh, well, I can't put something on somebody else's plate. My gosh, they've got so much to do. If you were going to delegate, certainly you'd want to work with the other person or entity, whatever it may be, and see if they have the time or the desire to do something. Or do you have to take something off somebody else's plate to delegate something onto it? And the other thing, sometimes people say, oh, well, I'm just faster. I can just do this myself. Or I'm better than anyone else. And no one else is ever going to get better if we don't give them a chance to dig in and get better. So oftentimes we get in our own way.
Delegation always is tough. So just give us, again, a couple quick steps. How can we delegate better?
Well, the first thing is, again, to go back to what I said at the outset, to really get a clear view of what one is doing, either in, and it may be in the work life, it may be at home, it may be in community, wherever it may be. And wherever you feel stressed or that there are things that are being done less excellently than you would like, and or things are being left undone, so to speak. Or if you feel like anybody that is important in your life is being put on the back burner, okay, write down your list of things that you're doing and then prioritize them. Really listen to the gut. My own coach says, Kathy, listen below the neck. So get out of our heads a little bit and listen below the neck and find out, what is our heart saying? Where is our heart? Where is our spirit? Where is our energy calling us? What is calling us to be done? And so that's the first thing we have to do is get a handle on our own lives. And then the second thing is to look at things. If somebody else could do this, and they could do this in a way that I feel like would be not just acceptable, but very good, what would those things on my list be? And to begin the process of delegating, finding someone, whether it's in your own organization or in the community or, again, whatever the situation may be, who really has the capability and the desire to do something, and have a very open conversation about that. And, again, ask permission to delegate. I think that's really the step one of delegation, is asking permission and finding out that person's desire and working with them to build their own skills. And not expecting them to maybe do things exactly the way you do it, but ask yourself, they may not do it exactly the way I do, but are we going to get the kind of results that we want? As a leader, you want to be results-oriented rather than activity-oriented. I'm interested in the end results. And so those are a couple of things about the delegation possibility. And then one last thing is, when we look at our mega lists of things that we're all engaged in doing, we can ask ourselves a question. If I don't do this anymore, or if we as an organization don't do this, if we either outsource this, or we simply eliminate it so that we can focus on the things that are making the biggest difference for us, is that a wise decision? What you want to do as a leader, again, whether that's at home or at work, you want to always say, are we doing the things that are the most productive for us? And make sure that we have the time, attention, energy, and effort to focus on those things. And therefore, we may eliminate some other things that the company's going to be just fine if we eliminate it. Or again, outsource it.
So again, it sounds like that prioritization, and this takes work. You really have to, and you said it before, you kind of have to go inward. How are you feeling? And it takes time. Right. But if you're going to achieve a better life, a better work environment, more happiness, it takes work. And you really got to step back and take a look at what's bothering you and how you can take care of that instead of just plowing ahead. I think so many times we just keep plowing ahead, keep going. We don't take that step back to monitor ourselves. And like you said, feel what's inside and then act on that. So I think that's great advice, Dr. Jameson. Thank you. So let's dig into this a little bit. Well, thank you. Let's dig into this a little bit. For the many people who hate going to work because of the workplace environment, you say it's not up to the boss to make the environment healthy. Each person has an opportunity to lead the way to creating a healthy work environment. How does that work?
That sounds a little strange, I know, but I really believe this with all of my heart, and again, I've been doing this for a long time, that if I am unhappy in the workplace, I have to look first myself and understand, and this is what I believe so powerfully, that each and every one of us, no matter what the work environment, that we are a leader of ourselves. And we make a decision each and every day of how we're going to handle our job. I don't care if I'm, I don't care what my job is. I don't care what my job is. If I go in with a smile on my face and with a kindness to the people I'm interacting with, if I can touch every person who I come in contact with, even if it's on the elevator going up to my floor, and I can even just give them a smile, or hey, what floor can I help you? You know, just a little bit of kindness. Then when I, the interesting thing about human beings, and we all know this to be true, but we don't always follow this, that the more I give, the more I receive. So if I can go into the workplace and understand, you know what, I'm a leader. I'm a leader of myself. Therefore, I'm also a leader of my teammates. And how I interact with my teammates is going to affect them. If I do what I'm supposed to do in the way I'm supposed to do it, in the timeliness that I'm supposed to do it, and my people that I work with can count on me, they can do a better job as well. Therefore, not only are we leaders of ourselves, and we can choose to be an asset to our organization, but by doing so, we are also choosing as leaders of our teammates to help them do a better job. And then last but not least, no matter what the organization, we are all, almost everyone is interacting with a client, a customer, a patient, whatever it may be, whatever the situation. And we can't push, nor would we want to push, anyone into making a purchasing decision or a buying decision or a financial decision or for a patient, a treatment decision. But we can lead people. We can lead people through, again, first of all, and above all else, a strong sense of integrity. We can lead people to make decisions that are good for them if we communicate well. And of all the communication skills, we speak, we read, we write, and we listen, of those four communication skills, without a doubt, the most important is listening. And so I can change or impact or have an influence on my work environment by being a leader of myself. And not wallowing as a victim, not wallowing in despair, not following the negative track of what I call grapevining, gossiping. By thinking I'm a victim, I can't do anything. This big boss up above is crunching me. I put myself in a victim role, and that is a very devastating role, less than effective, less than productive. In fact, it can be... It can cause people to be ill. But I also don't want to persecute people. I don't want to rule with a whip. I, as a leader in my own organization, I'm the president, CEO of my organization, I am a servant leader. When I take care of the people who work with me and I help them to reach their goals, and when I create an environment where they aspire to be more than they ever even imagined possible, and they are clear about their goals, and they realize that in this environment, I can become the person I want to become. I can feel good about coming to work. I feel like I'm making a difference. I have fun at work. I like the people I work with. If I can create that kind of excellent communication within the organization, not only are the individuals going to be more productive, so will my organization. And in that kind of an environment, where we have what is called in today's world in the 21st century, the engaged employee leads to engaged customers. That's what mm-hmm. we want.
So, Dr. Jamison, that works for anyone at any level of the organization, from low man on the totem pole up to the corporate CEO, those strategies you were just talking about.
Yes.
So if I'm a part-timer yeah. or I just started a company, come in with that smile, come in with that helpful attitude, come in with that kindness, come in listening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we're all going to pick up on that. The vibration, the energies that we put out are going to be not only transmitted out into the world, but we're going to receive that as well. And in my own personal life, and I'm sure you're the same way. I mean, I choose not to be around negative people. I don't have room in my life, in my brain, in my heart, in my soul for negativity, because That, right. Number one, it saps the energy. It saps.
All right, so,
there's nothing, by the way,
totally
stressful.
So what do you do then when you're sitting in a cubicle and the person next to me is negative and two people down, negative, negative, complaining, I hate this job, I hate the boss. How do you deal with that?
Well, the first thing is to not participate. The first thing is to decide, because remember this, I'm sure all of our mothers always told us, if you hear people gossiping about somebody else, you can count on the fact that they're gossiping about you too. So I'm not gonna join in that. Now that might mean that they don't invite me to lunch. It might mean that they don't want to sit and have coffee with me, because I am not going to. I make a decision, and that's what I would encourage others to do, to make a decision not to participate in the negativity. Now, if there's something that's going on that's really problematic and it's keeping me from working well or preventing me from getting good results, then I want to learn, I'm going to study, I can read, I can go on the internet, I can go to classes, whatever, to learn how to communicate better. And let's say you and I are working together, Bill, and somehow we have some sort of a disagreement or something's going on that, you know, we're not getting along too well. And something you're doing is really affecting my work and I don't feel real good about it or whatever. I can go to somebody else and wah-wah about you. Well, that's only going to put them in the middle of the situation, and they can't do anything about it anyway. So I don't do anybody any good. I'm going to play the blame game, in other words, and that is so destructive in any kind of a work environment. But rather, I'm going to learn to go to the source, but sit down from a place of caring and say that it's not you I don't like, but we have a situation, a problem, something's going on that I'd like to work with you to find a solution. Can we do that? Because there's a big difference between I don't like what is going on, I don't like how we're functioning or not functioning well, or I don't like the results we're getting or whatever it may be. There's a big difference between that and I don't like you. So I'm not going to lash out at the person by any means. There's nothing good comes from that. But again, if I truly have a problem, I'm going to learn how to sit down with people and work through it. The truth of the matter is, there is no person, there is no organization that doesn't have problems. We all have problems. Our organizations all have problems. But the difference between being successful and not being successful is, again, not that successful people don't have any problems or successful business. Oh, well, they don't have any problems. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they do. But they've learned how to face the problems and solve them. And when they work on a solution, now and hear this well, where both parties or both divisions or whatever it may be, when both of them can win and both of the entities can have their needs met and come to a congenial agreement on the solution, hey, things move forward, and they move forward pretty rapidly.
That's a very good strategy. That's a very good strategy to use. Now, does that strategy work too for a quote-unquote horrible boss?
That's a very good question. So I'm going to handle that question a little bit pretty carefully. First of all, if I'm working with someone, my boss, and they're negative and they're just griping at everybody and they're always unhappy and they throw in whatever it may be, if the situation allowed, somebody that was really close to the boss or somebody who was a confidant or whatever, or if I had a manager and I went to my manager and I said, I'm concerned about, you know, my boss, when she comes into our environment, she seems so angry. And whatever it is that's causing her to be angry, if there's anything we can do to help, I want to do that. So if somebody's angry or negative, there's something that's causing that. So again, kind of depends on the situation. Sometimes you may have to go through channels, you know, to get to, it might not be, if it's a small organization, I have a good relationship with the boss, I might be able to go sit down and say, hey, something seems to be on your mind. You seem to be really unhappy with what's going on. Let's see if I can help or if we can help. But first of all, I got to find out. I can't solve any problem unless, first of all, I find out what it is. And again, in a huge organization, you may have to go to resources. And again, that may be so far from the low person, the first person that was hired, to the CEO, that may be very difficult. But right. The better everybody in the organization functions, of course, the happier the boss is going to be. A lot of times the angry boss is because people aren't performing well. So that is one of the reasons it creates a hangry boss. So if we can do a better job ourselves, and if I, as a manager of a division or whatever, can help the people do better and perform better and get better results, we're going to make a happier boss. However, if I'm in an environment where I really believe I've done everything I'm supposed to do to the best of my ability, and I can't get whatever I need to be successful, and I'm in a horrible situation where I hate going to work, I hate putting my hand on the doorknob, then, you know, I just think life is way too short for that, and I'd find somewhere else to work. Now, that's easier said than done because, you know, people have to put food on the table and a roof over their heads and et cetera, et cetera. So it's hard to walk away. But, you know, a negative workplace will eat somebody alive. And so, again, from the worker, from me as a worker, or from me as an employer, we have to ask this question: what can I do to make this a better environment? First of all, what's bothering me? What can I do to make a difference if I can? If I can't, then I need to find a different place to work.
So a lot of it is control yourself. I mean, you can only control yourself. And are you doing everything you can? Are you doing everything the boss is asking you to do? Right. Am I working absolutely as hard as I can? Maybe the boss is angry or snippy or irritated because I am not doing the job, or myself and my coworkers together aren't doing the job. So first thing is look at your own performance. And if you are doing everything you can and the boss is still snippy, and we've all had bosses, God, I feel like I have to walk on eggshells around this person. Are they going to explode or blow up, or are they in a good mood or a bad mood today? But if I'm doing everything I can and I still am encountering a boss like that, what is the next step then?
To me, the next step is, if possible, to have that kind of a straightforward, and I'm going to use the word confrontation, but God, I'm going to use the word as if it were intended, and that's to confront the issue, dear boss, and I would like to try have a meeting, if possible, or manager, whatever it may be. This is how I feel. I feel like I'm doing everything I can. This is what my job is. This is what I understand my job to be. I don't seem to be pleasing you, and you, you know, oftentimes are obviously very unhappy with me or with my performance. Tell me what I need to do differently in order to improve. And then I have to decide whether I could do this or not. Let me back up a step because I said something that was very critical. We're really talking about accountability here just a little bit. Because oftentimes a boss will be upset with someone because they feel like that person is not being accountable. Well, what is the first and most important step of accountability? And it is clear expectation. Well, oftentimes, so often it's unbelievable in the workplace, if you really dig down deep, which is what I do, do the people know, number one, not just do we have a list of tasks we're supposed to be doing. That's not a job description. Do I know what is expected of me? Do I know what I can expect of my employer, of my coworkers, of my position? But do I have clear expectations coming to me and going from me to others? Then the second thing is, do I know what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to do it, and are we absolutely sure that just because something's been thrown at me, did I really get it? Because different people learn in different ways. So have I really mastered the skills I need to be successful? So do I know what I'm supposed to do? Have I become as good as I can at those skills? Number three, am I very clear? Here's where most organizations miss out. Am I, as a employee here, clear about the expected end results that I'm supposed to be obtaining, whether that's daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, whatever it is, with each client, whatever. Am I clear about the expected end results I'm supposed to be getting? Yes or no? So again, when we look at that, we often see there's some missing links. And so people are not performing at a level that the boss would like for them to perform, because they really aren't clear about what that is. So the clearer we can be with our expectations, the better performance will be. In a nutshell, here's what you want to create in a work environment. You want to create an environment where the employees can trust that the bosses will do what they say they'll do when they say they will do it, And the bosses need to know the same thing, that they can trust the employees to do what they say they'll do, when they say they will do it, and how they will say they'll do it. And when we have that level of trust in the workplace, ultimately we develop this very ethereal thing that people want so desperately in the workplace, and that's respect. And when we can function in a place where we are respected for not only what we can do for the organization, but we're respected as a human being and as an individual, and we're honored as such, we're going to thrive. We're going to thrive in that kind of environment. You know, people spend about, it depends, 40 to 60% of their waking hours in the workplace. And yet, data shows that about 70% of the people in the workplace are unhappy.
This podcast is designed to help people live a healthier, inspired life. And having a healthy work environment is so important to your health and your inspiration of daily life. You just said some really good stuff there, Dr. Jameson. If you need to, rewind it and listen back to that. But at the end there, you touched on respect. And as an employee, if you show respect to that, if you have a horrible boss, if you show respect to that horrible boss and the tips that you just explained, chances are you're going to get more respect back. So I think that's very important. Very important. Well, coming up, we get the high five from Dr. Jameson. If I could ask a quick favor, I have one simple goal for this podcast. I want people to walk away with something they've heard to improve their life, to make their life better, to make their workplace better, to have more meaning and enjoyment. And if we do that, I think we slowly make the world a better place. So I know that sounds weird, but that's the way I think about it.
I totally agree.
After the interview with Dr. Jameson, jump over to iTunes. If you could, rate and review the show. And by doing that, we attract more people like you, and we create a wider audience, and it gives us a chance to help more and more people. So if you could do that after the interview with Dr. Jameson, I would appreciate it. The high five with Dr. Jameson is next. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way Is Life, first off, thank you. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. I am into Well-Designed Life by Kyra Bobinet. It's a book with 10 lessons in brain science and design thinking for a mindful, healthy, purposeful life. It's really good stuff. If you want to check it out, you can, or other books, just go to audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Again, that's audibletrial.com/whichwayislife for your free audio book. Which Way Is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. Now, you probably already use sea salt on your food because you know of its health benefits, but is your salt real? Take a look at the ingredients panel. You might be surprised at what you see. A lot of salts contain fillers, anti-caking chemicals, even dextrose, which is a type of, yes, sugar. And you want to find a salt that hasn't been stripped of its minerals or had chemicals added. Real Salt brand is an unrefined salt from an ancient ocean in central Utah. Now think about our oceans today. Certainly not as clean as they used to be. Real Salt brand sea salt formed long before man-made pollution was a problem. With Real Salt, you get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt that's real. Real Salt brand sea salt. Find it at your local health food store or go to realsalt.com. Time for the high five with my guest today, Dr. Kathy Jameson. Dr. Jameson, are you ready?
I am ready. I can't wait.
Number one, if you have a coworker you just don't get along with sitting right next to you, how should you manage that situation?
I'm probably going to bring them chocolates and flowers. I'm serious, and I say that a little facetiously. But truly, the human beings function more effectively if they function from the golden rule, you know, doing to others as you would have them doing to you. So the kinder I can be to someone else, the kinder they're going to be to others. There's something in that person's life that is causing them to be negative. I know I sound a little Pollyanna, but I don't believe that people get up in the morning and they think, hey, I'm going to be as difficult as I can be today. So something's going on. Be kind to that person, and the kinder you are to them, the kinder they'll be to somebody else.
That's great. Number two, what's the best way we should approach each workday?
I want to approach each and every workday as if, number one, wow, isn't it great that I woke up this morning? What a privilege. And that I am so fortunate to have a job and to be able to work and to be able to use my talents to make a difference in the lives of other people. And it doesn't matter what the job is, if you can approach your day that way and go into work and know that I don't want to go in at 8 o'clock wishing it was 5, or go in on Monday and wishing it was Friday. I want to go into each and every day thinking, what can I do today to make a difference?
So an attitude of gratitude, basically.
An attitude of gratitude. What a blessing it is that I'm alive today, and that there's so many people. I said, all you have to do is go to a third world country just once. And when you come back to our wonderful country, to think, we're so fortunate. I have a job today, and I am so grateful. I'm grateful for the people who I work with and the people who are our clients and customers who give us a chance to serve them.
Okay, question number 3. If you had to recommend a book to our audience, what would it be?
If it were a business book, I think back to the business books that have made the biggest difference probably in my life. The Effective Executive by Peter Drucker is one of the greatest books ever written, I think. Simple, small, short, wonderful. I love The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, and I loved Jim Collins' Good to Great. Those three books and also Ram Shrawn, Larry Bosity, their book on execution. I've loved those books. I've read them over and over and over. For a personal growth and development, my personal coach, Alan Cohen, has written a book called Deep Breath of Life, and it's a daily inspiration, and I read it every day, and it means a lot to me. And then I guess books I have, novels, classic novels that I have loved. I know this sounds really romantic, but I love Gone with the Wind. So, and I also love Margaret Mitchell, because she was rejected so many times, and
nothing wrong with
stood
that.
Up anyway and believed in the project and did it anyway, even when people rejected her.
You gotta love the classics.
You've got to love the classics.
Got to love the classics. Dr. Jameson, question number 4. For someone soaked in fear, worried about being fired, which a lot of people are in that negative space, what should they do?
There's no question that fear is, as a human being, is one of the most devastating emotions that we can experience. So I'm going to say this, and I'm going to also preface this by saying this is easier said than done, but it is one of the truths of life. Fear cannot live in the presence of love, and love cannot survive in the presence of fear. So if I am afraid of being fired, if I'm afraid that I'm not going to put, I mean, these are legitimate. I'm not going to be able to put food on the table for my kids. I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. Those are legitimate fears. They are. But if we go into our workplace being as much as our employer expects, and a little bit more than that every single day. If we go in with a good attitude, and we go in with this attitude of I'm going to do all that's expected of me and a little bit more, and I do that each and every day, I will always have a job. There's so many people that are satisfied being average. And if I make a decision that I want to be more than average, I will always have a job.
So just make yourself so valuable. Why would they fire you? Why want to get rid of this person? They work so hard for me.
Exactly. Exactly. And it doesn't matter what the position is. If I'm sweeping floors, I'm going to do it so well, and I'm going to smile to people walking through the airport or wherever I'm sweeping. And I'm going to do it so well that when people are looking for people to sweep the floors, they're going to think, well, we can't get rid of Kathy because she's so good and she makes people feel better and she doesn't leave anything laying on the floor. She's great. We're going to keep her. When we think about a life well lived, for most of us, that includes the work portion of our life. It's not the only part of our life, but it's an important part of our life. And if we're miserable there, we're going to carry that home. And if we carry that home to our most beloved and the people who will be with us, you know, when it's all said and done, our families, if we take that negativity home to our families, that may be one of the most devastating things we can do. So we want to create a work environment where we can thrive and be joyful and feel like we're doing something that's worthwhile, and take that home to our families.
Question number 5, our last one. Finish this sentence. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
From my father, live a life of integrity. Live a life of integrity and be above anything else that would pull you in any other direction. Always let integrity be the guiding light.
That's terrific. Well, Dr. Jameson, I've so much enjoyed having you on today. Tell us, how can we connect with you? How can we find your books? Tell us how to get all that stuff.
Thank you so much. I have a website. I'd love to invite you to my website, CJ at Kathy, C-A-T-H-Y, Jamison, J-A-M-E-S-O-N.com. CJ at KathyJamison.com. You can go to my website and see my books are there. And I do a blog, a weekly blog. And I'd love for you to join me on my blog sometime. And the blog is all about creating a healthy work environment, as well as creating a healthy home environment as well. And so I'd love for people to join me again for my on my website, and or certainly on my Facebook, which is Kathy Jamison. It's just my name, Kathy Jamison, author Kathy Jamison. You can join me on Facebook, and I would love it.
We will certainly do that. I'm going to put all the links to all the cool stuff that Kathy told us about on our show notes page at RadioMD.com. Dr. Jamison, thank you so much again.
You are so welcome, and thank you, for the good work you're doing.
And thank you again, Dr. Jamison. I appreciate that. And remember to enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life? Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at RadioMD.com. And once again, if I can ask a favor, just take 30 seconds, rate the podcast on iTunes, jump over there. And the reason is we want to attract more people like you to the show. And the only way we can do that is if you rate it, which helps the show gain more visibility. And you can leave a review as well. I would love to hear from you. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me on Twitter at Which Way Is Life. Also, please go to our Facebook page and like that too. It's at Which Way Is Life on Twitter and on Facebook. And you can check out all the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks again for listening, and stay well.